from Nelnet Renewable Energy.
This is What's Up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of What's Up. Today, I'm joined again by a special guest, Ryan Sushlin. Ryan, thanks for joining today.
What's up, Connor? How we doing?
Good. It is a beautiful, sunny December Friday here in Northern Illinois, and I'm excited to jump into a great conversation with our guests here.
Yeah, it was an awesome conversation. You know, we talked about fleet management. So we were speaking with One Moon, who's the business development manager over at Amp Control. I don't know about you, Connor, but I really actually did really like this conversation we had with One. It brought up a lot, in my opinion, of ideas for fleet management that, you know, you think about like a fleet of vehicles seems very simplistic, just like fill them up and just go. But from the software and everything we talked about in this interview, it sounds like it opens up way more avenues for optimization for a business than even revenue potential.
Right. Yeah. I think the conversation was really interesting. You know, we talked a little bit about the historical, you know, some of the upcoming, you know, solutions in place with fleet management. And, you know, like you said, something that really stood out was the revenue opportunities that, you know, are presented with some modernization efforts that are being undergoing with EVs. So, yeah, without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into the conversation with One Moon. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I appreciate everybody tuning in today. We're joined by One Moon from Amp Control, which is a fleet management, electric vehicle fleet management system. Welcome to the podcast, One Moon.
Yeah, thank you, Connor. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So, One, can you maybe start off by talking a little bit about yourself and maybe some of your history in the industry and how you got involved with Amp Control?
Yeah, sure. So I'm currently doing business development here at Amp Control, and we are a charging management software for electric fleets. And I joined the company slightly over 2 years ago. It was my first time into the energy industry, but my background has always been in startups and also innovative small teams, and joined the team really to work on having conversations with utilities, fleet operators, solutions companies on tackling electrification. And I'm sure, as you're all aware, reducing the emissions of our vehicle operations is something that is very common throughout many different organizations today. So trying to tackle the question of how to electrify fleet vehicles has been the center of my time here at Amp Control.
Love that. It's a very important, you know, piece, because we're seeing it obviously everywhere with electrification of just residential cars. Your average person, like, I don't know about you guys, but I see like the Amazon electric delivery vans driving around my neighborhood constantly. So this is, it's coming up more and more in the world. And so what I'm really curious about is I did a little bit of just research on Amp Control and looking into reading your bio and seeing what you guys are doing. So it looks like largely it's a software platform for managing those electric fleets. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we focus specifically on the software to monitor and optimize the chargers specifically. And so I think one of the, of course, very different elements of an electric fleet, if you're probably familiar, if you ever have an electric vehicle, is that it takes time to charge that vehicle, right? Compared to, let's say, a traditional ICE vehicle, you can just pour gasoline or diesel and you immediately have a full tank that you can run, and you don't really have to worry about anything else than the cost of that fuel. Meanwhile, with electric vehicles, it's a very different story. Not only are you charged for electricity in a very different method or very dependent on where you are, but also it simply takes time to charge a battery. And so we really address these sort of really different scenarios for fleet operators who are used to working on or using ICE vehicles for their fleets. And now they are dealing with a completely different use case of electric vehicles, electric chargers, AC slow charging or DC fast charging. But really, it's just a very different experience for many of the drivers out there today.
That's really interesting. So, you know, this is, you know, just with the adoption of electric vehicles, you know, everybody thinks, at least from my perspective, right, a lot of people think that, you know, all electric vehicles, right, residential, you know, just residential car usage. Ryan, you brought up a good point, you know, your average Joe, your regular residential consumer, you know, your commuter car. And, you know, outside of like a few big announcements here and there, like the Tesla, you know, semi truck or the Amazon Rivian deal that was made a little while ago, like I feel as if people aren't really focusing a ton or haven't until recently on some more of the industrial and commercial uses of transportation. So one, I'd love to ask you from your perspective, what are maybe some of the pain points and some of the trends that you're seeing in the industry so far?
Yeah, sure. So I certainly agree that probably today we think a lot of electric vehicles as the passenger vehicles that anyone could buy and they, you know, use it to drive around, charge at their home, let's say, for example, or maybe some sort of DC charger on a highway. But really, transportation accounts for a very significant portion of the emissions that we emit. So if you think about all the goods that need to travel across the U.S., all of the even today, let's say, the deliveries that come to your house, all of these use vehicles, and some of those vehicles are maybe a really good use case to use electric vehicles. They may have very short routes. They could also stop and start very frequently. And so, you know, you really don't need a gasoline engine or something similar to be on the entire time. You just travel, let's say like a USPS, they travel a couple of feet really to the next mailbox and that's it. And they get off of the vehicle back in, and so these are very good ideal situations for fleet vehicles. And so, of course, it depends specifically on the use case of the fleet. But really, some of the common problems that fleets have faced with electrification, let's say, are three main ones. So the first being high charger downtime. So maybe if you have an electric vehicle and you are trying to charge, you might have probably encountered this already, but lots of chargers on highways or parking lots, they're not working. They're broken. You know, drivers are like, oh, this connector is not working. Let me try the spot, parking spot right next to it. Maybe that one is working. And there's just like a lot of just unknowns with operating these chargers. For a fleet, let's say you have a depot with 50 vehicles and 50 chargers, one charger not working could lead to significant consequences. Let's say that vehicle is not charged properly, it can't go on its route, and now it's an electric vehicle. You can't simply just get a tank of fuel and refill it in 5 minutes, right? Even if you fix that charger, maybe you need 1 hour to make sure that it has a good range. Or in a sufficient range for that vehicle. So the number, one of the main issues that we've seen is managing uptime of the chargers. So, and this issue is not always just the charger. It could be a vehicle issue, it could be a hardware issue, it could be some sort of electrical issue on site, it could even be an internet issue. And so there's just a lot of different problems that could be somewhat difficult to troubleshoot. And that is one thing that we do strive is providing the highest possible uptime of the chargers in a fleet setting, knowing how important it is that the vehicle is charged and ready. And now, secondly, one of the other main problems that we see are just expensive fueling costs. Everybody knows or they tried to say that, yeah, EVs, it will result in cheaper costs for fueling. You know, it should be cheaper than gasoline or diesel. Maybe it's also less variable. But it depends, right? It depends on how you are charged for the electricity. It's slightly different than just procuring fuel. And so you could be working on or you could be experiencing different demand charges or different energy costs based on the time of the day. And so it's slightly more complex that you could charge now or you can delay the charging for 4 hours and you will save a lot of money on the electricity costs. It really becomes a question of optimizing that charging. So making sure that that vehicle will be charged in the most intelligent way while also ensuring that on-time departure so that it's ready and the actual optimization of the charging will never affect the actual operation of the fleet. And so these are some of the most common problems that we have seen dealing with fueling costs, also uptime of the chargers. And of course, it is a developing industry. So you probably hear lots of problems like there's not enough equipment, maybe delays in vehicles being delivered or chargers being delivered. Certainly lots of other main problems as well, but those were two that I wanted to highlight on.
Those are really problems that I feel probably most people, your average listener, is not really going to think of, is because I myself, if I'm thinking of like an electric vehicle fleet, it's just, hey, whenever you happen to pull in and, you know, you're just sitting there, because fleet vehicles, especially delivery, has a lot of, you know, staying time where they just sit there and doing nothing, loading, unloading. You would think, oh, you just plug it in during that time. But I guess, is that more where the amp control software is going to come in to really let fleet managers know, like, hey, based on your timing, you need to charge this, you know, a few hours from now when you're back in the station a later time? Is that how you guys optimize well?
Yeah, so I think that in general, that is what we look at. But I would say that in a fleet, you're dealing with maybe different roles. So, for example, there's the fleet operator who's maybe most interested in that vehicle being charged on time. Maybe you have another person, maybe the energy or facility manager who's very interested in the electricity cost of that site. And so you really have to manage these different objectives. And so maybe for the fleet operator, when that electric vehicle comes in, their number one priority is plugging it in. So just so that no one forgets to plug in that vehicle, or just so that now that that vehicle is in its parking spot, you have to plug it in and now it's ready to be charged and be in case it needs to leave tomorrow morning. But what are some of the things that we do with M-Control is that the fleet operator, they can just plug in the vehicle and we will automatically charge that vehicle in the best method. So if it means that we should delay the charging right now because the electricity costs are the most expensive and they will get cheaper after midnight, then we will purposely delay the charging of that vehicle so that the fleet operator, they don't need to worry about anything. All of these decisions are automated. And so we take into account these different constraints. So let's say it's leaving at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. The cost of electricity right now is this. In the next 5 hours, it will turn into this. Then we will combine these different constraints to optimize the vehicle. And of course, it sounds very simple when you have one vehicle. But now let's look at a typical USPS or UPS Amazon fleet. They probably have a site with tens or even maybe hundreds of vehicles. You're dealing with lots of electricity, lots of vehicles, a lot of different things happening at that particular site, and we want to automate all of this as much as possible.
Right. So that's really interesting. So right now, could you maybe share a little more insight? Like if I'm a fleet manager and I don't have any type of automation software, you know, I'm kind of just, you know, manually plugging and unplugging things. Is that really like how you've seen a lot of fleet managers do it, where they have a fleet of 50 vehicles or 20 vehicles, and then, you know, they're literally just manually plugging and unplugging, and they're taking none of these other like attributes and variables into play here? Is that kind of where the current market is at?
So I think it really depends. Just at the stage where we are, some companies are just running smaller pilots. They just really want to get the vehicles and the chargers and make sure the vehicles are charging. So operations, of course, as mentioned earlier, is number one. So So fleets could tend to just charge the vehicles without consideration for the electricity costs initially, which I think we do that in some cases as well, right? Let's just plug in the vehicle, see how those operations look like, see how that electricity is calculated. And then on top of this, we could start to add in some optimizations. If we delay the charging by this amount, what does this mean for the fleet? Are we jeopardizing anything? What are some of the savings that we could have? And so it really depends, of course, what are some of the priorities of the fleet, but there are certainly combinations of different things that we could add on to save more money, to make sure that vehicles are charged on time. And as you can tell, I could probably just talk about this forever, but it's very different, right? Like although I'm not the expert on fleet operations, when you were dealing with traditional ICE vehicles, you probably did not really need to consider all of these factors, right? The aspect of charging is a very different, an entirely new beast within fleet operations. And one of the things that, of course, is very true with fleets is that they probably have a lot of existing software. So they already have a software that manages all the route information, all of the departure times based on the load of the vehicles, et cetera. And so another difficulty, of course, is now that we have electric vehicles, how does this change all of those existing systems? And so now we're not just dealing with the energy prices and the chargers, but also all of this additional information that they already have, where certain vehicles are going on the road, where they're going to park. And so really being able to have a flexible system that can take into account these different constraints. We may not need or use all of these constraints today, but if you look at it in the next 3 or 5, 10 years, things will only get more complex. And in order to achieve more efficiency, a lot of considerations have to take place.
I was going
to
say, I think it's really interesting that we've shifted from one set of variables with, like you said, ICE vehicles of like, you know, hey, we need to consider oil change time, and we need to consider all of these other things that, you know, are directly related to having a combustion engine in the vehicle, to now it's, you know, we're slowly making that transition over to now we don't need to worry about that, but we need to worry about charge times. You know, you're not going to optimize when you go pay for gas because it's, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But now we kind of have to, you know, on the flip side, we don't need to pay for, you know, oil changes. And, we, you know, now we do need to optimize, you know, when we're going to, you know, charge those vehicles. Ryan, I think I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's more or less what I was going to say. And I guess my question that I had for you, one was, you know, I really like that you guys, and seems like the goal for Amp Control is to take the guesswork out of this, to make this as easy as possible for fleet managers. And I would imagine a lot of the pushback from people who are trying to electrify their fleet or even thinking about it is that they just think that this is going to radically change the way that they do business and they have to manage their fleets and optimize and track. You know, is that kind of the most common pushback you see, or do you see other reasons why people are like not wanting to electrify their fleets?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a very valid point. Of course, you know, electrification, or let's just say zero emission vehicles, are here, right? We have goals, I think, in many organizations to make this transition. So in some cases, it's not a choice. It is a requirement, right? Especially maybe, let's say, school districts or transit authorities, they have goals to electrify or reduce the emissions of their fleet by certain numbers and figures within the next couple of years. Regarding the pushback from, I feel like through these discussions, we like to think that electrification is not necessarily just a difficulty or a problem that we need to solve, but it is potentially also a huge benefit to our everyday life. So, you know, a fleet could save significant costs by using electricity rather than gas or diesel. They have significant options out there to optimize their sites and to charge more intelligently. Of course, right now, there are many different grants and incentives out there to help make this transition. In addition, I would say maybe this is a side topic, but there is definitely something that people mention as like an energy revolution. When every single one of these vehicles are electric, suddenly we have so much more energy storage possible on the grid. Mm. And this can result in significant savings even for the fleet. For example, I'm sure you've heard of concepts like V2G, where you can discharge the energy in your fleet to make money. It doesn't even need to be discharged. Actually, there are programs out there such as demand response and many more. The electricity market, of course, is very complex. But even today, not even with electric vehicles, but anyone with a very high power load, if they, for example, reduce how much electricity they use for the next couple of hours by some percentage, they'll receive an incentive. So there are these certain programs out there where you get paid to participate in programs to balance the grid depending on the supply and demand of the electricity. And so there's a huge potential, of course, also for fleets to participate in these programs. Their 50 or 100 fleet vehicles are now not only just a vehicle to move around with, but also a huge storage of energy. And you could potentially sell or even modify how you charge your vehicles to make money. And so there are so many different ways, I guess, from the fact that electric vehicles take some time to charge, that there are also many options and possibilities out there to make additional revenue. And so I think that it's possible to change that conversation that electrification is not necessarily, while difficult, is not the best option, but it could be a huge opportunity for us to make the grid stronger.
I didn't even consider that point of view actually at all. One about you're essentially you're contributing to the decentralization of the grid. If you have a fleet of 50 semi trucks with 900 or 1,000 kilowatt hour batteries, so I mean that's a huge mobile battery installment, right? I mean that could seriously improve grid resiliency and just have a number of other cascading effects kind of downstream there. So that's really interesting that you bring that up. I'd love to kind of circle back a little bit to you mentioned kind of depots and vehicle planning a little bit earlier on in the conversation. If I was a fleet manager, right, or if I was working in a company and we were electrifying and we were looking to build an actual depot to charge these, to charge our fleet, what would be some considerations you would take in place here to make sure that the vehicles charge efficiently and we were doing it really in the most efficient way possible?
Mm-hmm. Sure, there's of course so many factors in considering a site, right? We deal primarily on the software for the operations of the site. But of course, one of the main factors in electrification is finding a location that has enough grid capacity for the chargers. This is for sure another main problem that we see often is that many of these sites, they don't have enough grid capacity. And for the utility or some similar to go in there and upgrade that transformer and to make more power available is going to be very expensive. It's going to take time, maybe even potentially a couple years. And so it might be very difficult to even find a site that has enough capacity to install many chargers. And so one thing to, of course, take into account more on the design and the engineering side is to find a suitable site that has hopefully enough grid capacity or has the potential to be upgraded later on in the future. In addition, there are maybe certain space constraints that you need to be aware of. Let's say, for example, a transit fleet, There are different ways to park those long buses. The placement of chargers will, of course, also be very critical. Very different, as mentioned, from ICE vehicles is that the fueling aspect will potentially happen overnight when the vehicles are parked. And so there has to be room for the chargers as well. And so we would also recommend taking a look into your actual operations, get an idea of the load that might be required. What are some of the costs that could be associated with it? And of course, how you're charged for that electricity. And so as you can tell, it's a very complex project where you're dealing with lots of different parties, even maybe local governments, and getting grant certifications to install these high power equipment. So really starting early, thinking about what is the EV load of potentially larger amounts of your fleet being electrified, what are some of the electricity costs, and what are some of the potential optimization strategies that you can deploy to help electrify, of course, as soon as possible, while also reducing any upfront costs.
And no kidding, it's a complex, you're not joking. There's a million different things to consider. And if I can throw in one more layer of that, with the proliferation of renewables into this, now you have, you know, organizations who have solar, they have wind energy coming through to that. You know, does that kind of, I would imagine it probably helps, right? But are there any cases where it may make something more complicated? And then, you know, in the cases, of course, where most times it's going to help, does the Ant Control software, have you guys integrated that to be able to also pull in data from the renewable sources?
Yep. Yeah, no, that's actually a great point. It reminded me of something that I did wanted to mention earlier, but I think there are two points here. So within the site, yes, many, let's say, large warehouses or depots, they do plan on adding solar, maybe even batteries. So in scenarios, let's say, where you can use the solar energy, the solar power to charge the battery, and then use that battery when electricity is most expensive to charge your vehicles. Really, there's a lot of arbitrage that you can do to even further optimize that site. And so, yes, we have integrated different solar inverters in conversation with using batteries, on-site battery systems to, of course, optimize our charging decisions. And it simply adds, as you said, more complexity and also potential opportunities to that site. And really, this is in some ways the direction that the energy industry is heading towards, not just looking at gasoline or diesel or fuel, but also let's look at how we generate electricity. We used to use majority, let's say, coal power plants that are much more consistent over time. Now we want to move away from those sources and use something like solar or wind energy. And these are much more variable. They are intermittent sources of energy and harder to predict and has much more fluctuations. And it actually reminds me of a project that we did with a company in the UK was investigating whether dynamic energy prices would be beneficial for their fleet. So this is something that is much more common, I would say, in Europe. I know certain utilities in California are testing this, but basically every single day you could receive energy prices for the next 24 hours. This means that the energy prices are highly variable. And so at certain times of the day, let's say during the middle of the day when it's very windy and when the sun is out, energy prices could be potentially negative. So you will get paid to charge from the grid. And so these dynamic prices are a potential opportunity to even further optimize your charging. And I think this is where we are headed, is that as we begin to, let's say hypothetically, shut off these coal power plants and we have more of these renewable energy sources, electricity prices will no longer be as constant or flat as it used to be. Of course, maybe with hydro, it is much more predictable, but mm-hmm. other sources will be more variable, and this will result in also equally dynamic energy prices. And so this could mean even further benefits or potentials when we are using that electricity to charge the vehicles.
Yeah, that is amazing. I, you know, just when you think about, you know, fleet management and electrification of cars and fleets and no pun intended, but interconnecting that with the complexities of renewables. I mean, Ryan, you're exactly right. It just adds a whole nother layer of complexity onto, you know, you're obviously you having to, you know, using software to manage your fleets and charge at the proper times. But then you're also, you know, having to time that properly with whatever the utilities tell you in terms of what those pricing is going to be.
Okay. I'm curious, your study then with the company in the UK, were we finding that having the variable rates and then working with your software to be able to schedule that charging did result in significant savings for them, or what was the outcome from that?
No, it did result in significant savings above 20 to 30%. And of course, what is important is that a system that is able to use this to your benefit, right? A dynamic energy price has more potential for savings because it is also inherently maybe more risky. Your energy prices are no longer flat, and so how you will be charged and also how much your fuel costs is now is highly variable. And so making sure that, of course, you're able to use this to your benefit is very important. I'm not here saying that, oh, everyone should adopt a dynamic energy price, it will result in savings. It could potentially not, right? Depending on your exact fleet operations, when you're charging, when do these vehicles need to go out on the road, maybe even what types of chargers and infrastructure you have, everything will be very different. Every site will have very different constraints. We could be located in different states in the US or even different countries around the world. So everything is very, very, it's very dependent on where the specifics and the constraints of that site. And so I guess that is really maybe the highlight is maybe fuel. You know, we calculate the cost per barrel. I think that's a very common statistic around the world. But now electricity, much very different how it is calculated all around the world. And so having a system in place that could use that intelligence is very important. And of course, everything is happening in the cloud with our algorithms. The fleet operator doesn't necessarily really care, right? That vehicle comes into the road, they plug it in, and they're like, hey, this vehicle should be ready by tomorrow when that driver comes to go on its route. They don't want to worry about, hey, if I plug this now, it'll be $5 more expensive than if I plug it in 5 hours from now. Like, what should I do? Right? You're just dealing with such complex operations that you want to simplify everything and to automate everything. And so that is one of the benefits of our system, is that we test our algorithms in the cloud, deploy them really to ensure that, let's say we have this scenario with all these different energy prices, vehicles, complex schedules, battery and solar. How does that really look like for the end user?
My question then, one, is when you and your team are working and, you know, working with a potential client and you're looking to bring them on, you know, onto the platform and utilize Amp Control, is showing them, you know, calculable, you know, savings and essentially what could equate to an ROI of, you know, utilizing the software, is that something you find that is common, you know, maybe not from like a small scale of like you're going to save $5, but like over the course of X amount of time, is that something that you find that is important to people?
That's definitely very important. The margins, especially for fleets, are very tight. They are very concerned with how much everything will cost. They are also going into a brand new, let's say, technology, buying EVs, installing chargers, charging these vehicles. And so it is something that is very new to them. There are significant upfront costs to the infrastructure. Not only you have to buy an EV, which is pretty expensive, but you also have to design the site, install these chargers that are not cheap. And so they are very concerned with reducing the total cost of ownership for these types of operations. And so It's hard to say, of course, exactly how much those savings will be. Every site will be very different. Every fleet will have very different operations. But really, I do want to make the point that electrification is not necessarily something that will result added costs in the long run, but that there is a huge potential, of course, to optimize and to really improve on what we have today in order to adopt zero emission operations.
Yeah, and that's a big, we find that a lot in solar as well, in like our day-to-day jobs, is that the upfront cost is higher, but there's a much more kind of a long-term look at this for the optimization and the real reductions in cost and everything there too. So it's something our audience is heard a lot from us, is that we've talked a ton about. One of the things that I wanted to touch on here, because we've talked a ton today about optimization and intelligence and data and having all of this, and your website does talk about you guys using smart chargers and AI. So I'm really curious, with the continued expansion, you know, the buzzword that is AI that we've seen over the last year and a half or so, how has that impacted what you guys are doing today? And then where do you see the continued growth of that making an even bigger change to the landscape?
Sure. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities and potential out there. And so being able to make very intelligent charging decisions based on how the operations and the user behavior of the drivers, being able to also make intelligent decisions reliably and scalably. I think these are all of the different factors that come in into creating an AI-powered software that will manage an electric fleet. Really being able to use all these different data points. Let's say we have even something like weather data. We have the route information, let's say, whether it's going uphill or downhill. All of these things will factor into exactly how many miles that vehicle has traveled, or potentially the range of that vehicle. And so being able to use this data in the most intelligent manner is something that we are focusing very hard on.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine it brings really significant changes, because just like we talked about, right, we may be living soon in a society, and some people already are, where for these fleets, your fuel cost is changing on an hour-by-hour basis. So getting all that data in and then being able to utilize a software program like Amp Control to be able to make split decisions for, hey, because of this, we need to change X, Y, and Z immediately, as opposed to taking, you know, a few days to a week or so to analyze, can really mean huge advantages for any of these fleets.
Yep, exactly. And it's interesting because we are now in scenarios where we have depots and the primary fleet or anchor fleet, let's say the ones who use that site, now they also want to open up the site to other customers or other fleets, let's say. And so there's a lot of things that we could do here. And of course, this adds more potential or complexity to the operations. So let's say, for example, you have a bus fleet. Obviously, a bus fleet will go on its route primarily during the day and come back at night to charge. Maybe you want to have that local police department or fire department come charge during the day. And so you want to open up the site to other customers. Maybe you want to open up your site to the public at certain times of the day, depending on your own fleet operations. And so you could do all of these different things really to increase utilization of the site, maybe make additional revenue streams from these other parties. And so the possibilities are quite endless. And I think all of this also comes from the fact that we're not just pouring a fuel into the car, but rather you are doing something very different. You are charging a battery. You're also using electricity, which is also, you know, how we generate electricity is also constantly changing. So all of these different factors really tie in to, let's just say, the future of fleet electrification.
Yeah, 100%. And it's such a, I think it's just such a cool possibility for anything, because like you mentioned, right, open this up to the public, open this up to other things. You're taking what was once a stationary asset and just perform one thing. And now you're changing that into something that not only can provide long-term savings for a business, but opens up potential additional revenue options, which is just it's almost like a 180 of what the business is able to do. And when you look at a company that has so much sunk cost in just delivery, giving them another option is just a crazy advantage for them. It's a lot of fun.
People are interested in learning more about you, the software that you are a part of here. Where can they go to find more information about you and your team?
Sure. So we're always interested to have conversations, all things charging related. And so feel free to check out our website, www.ampcontrol.io. You can also, reach out to me at onemoon@mcontrol.io. I'll be happy to discuss really anything electric vehicle and charging related. It's definitely an industry where we're all learning, and so happy to share experiences as well there.
Well, hey, I really want to thank you again, Juan, for coming on the podcast today, answering all of our questions and just, giving us a chance to learn a little bit more about AmpControl and the kind of future of fleet electrification. So thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Connor. Thank you, Ryan, for the great questions. It was a really good discussion.